going to have this put in the bulletin to remind us. For remember that the divine service begins when we enter the sanctuary. So as the music for meditation begins, you're invited to join in a quiet preparation time to prepare for the divine service. So before the service, speak to the Lord. During the service, let the Lord speak to you. Then after the service, speak to one another. Please rise as we begin singing our first hymn. This your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And defend the cause against the wrath of thy people.
From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me.
For you are the God whom I take refuge.
Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me.
Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling.
Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy.
And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?
Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
Vindicate me, O God.
And defend my cause against an ungodly people.
From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me.
For you are a God in whom I take refuge.
Despise nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness. We may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Let us confess or do the Christian questions with our answers. Do you believe that you are a sinner? How do you know this?
From the Ten Commandments, which I have not kept.
Are you sorry for your sins?
Yes, I am sorry that I have sinned against God.
What have you deserved from God because of your sins?
His wrath and displeasure, temporal death, and eternal damnation.
Do you hope to be saved?
Yes, that is my hope.
In whom then do you trust?
In my dear Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is Christ?
The Son of God, true God, and man.
How many gods are there?
Only one, but there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
What has Christ done for you that you trust in him?
He died for me and shed his blood for me on the cross for the forgiveness of sins.
Did the Father also die for you?
He did not. The Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit. But the Son is both true God and true man. He died for me and shed his blood for me.
How do you know this?
From the Holy Gospel, from the words instituted in the sacrament, and by his body and blood given to me as a pledge and a sacrament.
What are the words of institution?
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Do you believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament?
Yes, I believe it.
What convinces you to believe this?
The word of Christ. Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood.
What should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood, and in this way receive his pledge?
We should remember and proclaim his death and the shedding of his blood as he taught us. This too is as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Why should we remember and proclaim his death?
First, so that we may learn to believe that no creature can get satisfaction for our sins. Only Christ, true God and man, could do that. Second, so we may learn to be horrified by our sins and to regard them as very serious. Third, so we may find joy and comfort in Christ alone, and through faith in him be saved.
What motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sins?
His great love for his Father and for me and for my sisters, as it is written in John 14, Romans 5, Galatians 2, and Ephesians 5.
Finally, why do you wish to go to this sacrament?
That I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sins, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor.
What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently?
First, both the command and promise of Christ the Lord. Second, his own pressing need, because of which the command, encouragement, and promise are given.
But what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, you should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then you should believe what the scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Second, you should look around to see whether he is still in the world.
Chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there the burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place in which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Here endeth our Old Testament reading. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
You delivered me from my enemies.
You rescued me from the man of violence.
The epistle is written in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia, or the tract. Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth.
Let Israel not say.
Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth.
Yet they have not prevailed against me.
The plowers plowed upon my back.
They made long their furrows.
The Lord is righteous.
He has cut the cords of the wicked.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 8th chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 42. Jesus said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "We now know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be like a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
sermon is based on the Old Testament reading from Genesis 22. The theme is the faith of Abraham. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen. Well, the Jews who argued with Jesus in the gospel reading called Abraham their father. But Jesus pointed out to them that they were not Abraham's children because they do not have the works of Abraham. St. Paul, in his epistles to the Christians in Rome and in Galatia, teaches that it is not the physical descendants of Abraham who are his children, but those who have the faith of Abraham, both Jews and Gentiles, who are Abraham's children. But what does it mean to have the faith of Abraham? When you speak of the faith of someone, you usually speak of one of two things: the faith that that person believes, and the faith by which that person believes. The faith which a person believes is what the person believes. What is the content of his faith? What is its confession? For example, the Apostles' Creed. The faith by which a person believes is how that person believes and how that person trusts in God. Your saints in Christ. Let's first examine the faith by which Abraham believed. What did Abraham trust in? Abraham trusted in the promise God made to him, that he would give him a son of promise, and that through that son he would make a great nation, to whom he would give the land of Canaan, and that through his offspring all nations of the earth would be blessed. You learned about this last week when Abraham sent away the slave woman Hagar and her son Ishmael, because Ishmael was born of the flesh, and only the son of promise would inherit. It was Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah, who was the son of promise, to whom God would fulfill all the promise to Abraham, to whom through all the peoples would be blessed. Nevertheless, in the Old Testament reading, God tells Abraham to take his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loves, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain he would designate. You see, this was to test Abraham's faith. But it was written down for the sake of your faith, because this event proclaims the faith which saves both Abraham and you. God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac. You can just imagine the horror Abraham must have felt. How could he kill his own son? Nevertheless, added to this was the fact that Isaac was the son of the promise, the son he waited decades to receive, the son born to him in his old age and by his 90-year-old barren wife, the son on whose account he cast out his son Ishmael and his mother, so that this child of promise to be the heir without persecution from a rival. So how could God tell him to kill this boy? Was God canceling his promise to Abraham? Absolutely not. Abraham continued to believe that God could fulfill his promise, even if he sacrificed Isaac. The promise was dependent upon Isaac living and having children. So Abraham believed God could even raise Isaac from the dead, as the book of Hebrews tells you. And this teaches you about your Savior, Jesus, who is the descendant of Abraham and Isaac according to the flesh. Jesus is God's only begotten Son, whom he loves. And out of love for you and out of faithfulness to his promise, God sent his only Son, Jesus, to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. For 3 days, Abraham journeyed to that mountain on which he would sacrifice his son. For 3 days, he was tormented by the task waiting ahead of him. For 3 days, he mourned his son's death, hoping for the resurrection of the dead. Likewise, Christ's heavenly Father watched Jesus be sacrificed upon the cross and laid dead in a tomb. For 3 days, your heavenly Father watched his son's cold, dead body lie in the tomb as he longed to fulfill the resurrection of the dead. When they got to the mountain, Isaac carried upon his back the wood, which would be used to burn his flesh on the altar. Similarly, your Lord Jesus carried the wood of his cross up Mount Calvary to the place of his execution. Isaac was a strapping young man at this point in his life. He was strong enough to carry a large load of wood on his back up a mountain. His father, on the other hand, was extremely old, well over 100 years. There's not a chance that the geriatric Abraham could pull up the muscle that the young Isaac had. Nevertheless, Isaac did not fight back when his father stretched out his hand with a knife to kill him. Isaac had asked his father where the lamb was for the burnt offering. His father simply responded that the Lord would provide the lamb. Now Isaac wasn't dumb. He figured out what was happening. And he wasn't weak. He was strong enough to fight back and rescue himself from being sacrificed. But instead, he trusted his father and the promise of his heavenly Father, and he laid down his life on his own. Likewise, Jesus was not weak, although he came in the form of weakness. He had the power to avoid the cross. With a word, he knocked down the entire mob who came to arrest him in the garden. No one took Jesus' life from him, but he willingly laid it down of his own accord. Jesus prayed in the garden, "Father, not my will, but thine be done," rather than refuse the cup of woe and death. And in these ways, Isaac serves as a type of Christ. His sacrifice proclaims the future sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, here is where the difference comes. Isaac is not sacrificed. Before Abraham could do the deed, the angel of the Lord calls out to Abraham not to harm the boy. Abraham had passed the test of faith. God renewed his promise to him. Instead of Isaac, Abraham sacrificed a ram caught by its horns in a thicket, provided by God. This ram rescued Isaac by being sacrificed in his place. But that ram does not rescue you. Neither does it give Isaac eternal life. However, that ram pointed to the Lamb of God, who would be sacrificed in all of your places in order to save you. The faith of Abraham is your faith. The faith of the Old Testament is the faith of the New Testament. Nevertheless, while the cross of Christ was hidden in the Old Testament prophecies, it is revealed plainly in the proclamation of the New Testament. So the means of proclaiming the gospel of the future Christ needed to be more involved. The sacrifice of this ram proclaims the crucifixion of Christ Jesus. The ram was caught by its horns in the thicket. The horns of the ram represent the power of the ram. Horns are a symbol of power. So this sacrifice is caught by its power. Likewise, Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, is caught by its power, his power. by his love. You see, out of love for you, and out of love for his Father, he cannot but offer himself as a sacrifice for all sins. Even the thicket around the ram's horns foreshadows the crown of thorns, which would adorn Christ's head. Abraham named that place, "The Lord will provide." And it continued to be said, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And indeed, the Lord did provide. Right near the same mountain where that ram was sacrificed in Isaac's place, the Lamb of God was sacrificed in your place. It became a blessing for all nations of the earth. And the angel of the Lord who stayed Abraham's hand, that was the pre-incarnate Christ. He was God the Son before he took on human flesh. So it is as the angel of the Lord said, "Do not sacrifice your son. Here is the ram to sacrifice in his stead. And may this ram be a token that I myself will come as your own offspring in human flesh and will sacrifice myself for the sins of the whole world." And this is the faith which Abraham trusted. This is why Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Abraham believed in the promise that the Christ would ransom you from your sins. You hold the faith of Abraham by trusting in Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham. Jesus is the angel of the Lord, who is the Lord, who is before Abraham, nevertheless has come after Abraham as Abraham's son. You have the faith of Abraham by having faith in Jesus. And in this way, you are Abraham's children, and you are heirs of the promise given to Abraham. However, there is the other way of speaking of the faith of Abraham. The faith by which Abraham believed. Now, while there is only one saving faith, which you can believe, as Scripture says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, every person has his own faith by which he believes. What I mean is, you each have your own personal faith, even if you confess the same creed. I cannot believe for you, and you cannot believe for me. The faith by which you believe is personal to each individual. Nevertheless, the faith by which Abraham believed had a particular character that is common to all who believe in Christ. Abraham was not offended by God's word. He was told to sacrifice his only son whom he loved and through whom God promised to bless the whole world. And Abraham obeyed the word of the Lord. Nevertheless, the Jews who were debating with Jesus did not have this character of faith. Not only did they not have the faith which Abraham believed, they rejected Christ. They did not have the faith by which Abraham believed because they were offended by Jesus' words. When Jesus told them that whoever keeps his word would never see death, they said that he had a demon for insinuating that he was better than Abraham. When Jesus told them that Abraham rejoiced at seeing his day, they ridiculed the young man Jesus. When Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am," they picked up stones to throw at him. They were offended at Jesus' words because they did not abide in Jesus' words. They didn't trust in the promise. So they found Jesus' claims offensive. But a faith which believes in the promise of Christ will not be offended by the words of Christ. Some are offended that Jesus says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved," because they think baptism is nothing but water. Some are offended that Christ bids you to eat his own body and blood, or that a man claims to have the authority from God to forgive sins. Nevertheless, when you trust in God's word above your own reason or feelings, you find great comfort in these words. It's offensive to be told that you're a poor, miserable sinner. Still, when you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Abraham not only teaches you what to believe, but how to believe. He does not judge God for how he carries out his promise or for the words he says. Rather, Abraham believes the word of the Lord against the objection of his emotions or his reason. Above all, Abraham puts his trust in God's promise above everything. So what gave him courage to obey God's contradictory command? He believed that all things were possible with God, and that not even the death of the promised child could prevent him from fulfilling his promise. So, dear saints in Christ, how do you follow Abraham's example in how to believe? By trusting in the word of God, despite what the devil or this world throws at you. Does God's word hurt your feelings or confuse your reason? Remember that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and that all things work together for good for those who love God. Does your current experience make you feel like God will not fulfill his promise to you? Remember that nothing in all of creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Do your sins make you doubt whether God can forgive you? Remember that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And those who have such faith as Abraham will never see death, and they will never be put to shame. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Strengthen and defend all pastors and church workers, giving them every good gift as they attend to your people. Cause us rightly to fear your anger and rejoice in your redemption. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, Heavenly Father, give wisdom and strength to all fathers in the home and church. Make them faithful in teaching your word to the children entrusted to their care. That these little ones would come to know you as their Heavenly Father and live as true children of God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God of power and might, you hold in your hand all the might of men. Give us good government and faithful leaders who will heed your word and pursue righteousness and justice. Bless and defend us against all destruction and teach us to be patient and faithful citizens of this land, using ourselves and our resources wisely for the good of all. Watch over and guard and keep our servicemen and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Rebecca, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, because our sins are not worthy to pray to you, yet in your mercy receive our prayers through the intercession of Jesus Christ, our great High Priest. Hear our supplication for those in need, especially Griffin, Barb, Pat, Eric, Mike, Robin, Carol, Arlen, Jamie, Richard, Steve, Kathy, Jerry, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Leisha, Robin, Deb, Mary, Wally, Shirley, Billy, and the Leslie family. Answer our petitions on account of the merits and meditation of your Son, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Chuck continually by your word and spirit, that he may faithfully keep the covenant into which he has been called, boldly confess his Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have freed your church from slavery to this world and gathered us around your holy mountain. Hearing again the proclamation of your New Testament, cleanse us through Christ's body and blood, which is offered for us on Calvary. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word that we might not be deceived by that liar and murderer of the devil, but know your truth and so come to everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
Celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body of Christ, given to death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, grant you saving faith by the hearing of his word. Take, eat, the body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
take, eat the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin.
Blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Part in peace. Amen. a gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee